Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teachings. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." The word of the Lord.
I was aware of the fact that it was a crazy time in the world. My dad watched the news every night, like I think every dad did, and I would sit down there. I was intrigued by it too. It seemed like the whole country was falling apart. It seemed like there was craziness everywhere you turned. And to top it all off, the president of the United States had just resigned from office, got in a helicopter and flew away. I could barely understand what was going on, but it seemed crazy. And it was made crazier, even more so, due to the fact that for the first time ever, Mrs. Walters, Jenny's mom, who lived across the street from us and babysat us from time to time, had just told me that I should call her Michelle. I didn't really know what to do with that. It just that seemed like the last straw, that things were crumbling. There was no solid ground. I mean, and then Mrs. Walter Michelle, Jenny's mom, then asked me what I thought of the Equal Rights Amendment. And I was 12 years old. And not completely sure what it was, but a little bit flattered that she would engage in this conversation with me. When my brother was outside playing, and I always remember that she sat there, we were at her kitchen table, and she chain smoked these cool Superlight 100s, which, yeah, they were as long as the name, these very long, cool Superlight 100s. And I remember her there drinking her coffee and smoking those cigarettes and lighting them time after time and explaining to me what the Equal Rights Amendment was. And she was actively campaigning to help get it ratified. And all these states had to do it. And I was like very intrigued by this whole thing. And then she said to me, she looked at me like she really thought I understood, like we were having a real adult conversation. And she said, "You know, if this country does not get in touch with its feminine side, there's no hope for us." And I said, "Yeah." And I think she mistook my befuddlement for deep consideration. And she said, "You know, even you, if you have any hope, you need to get in touch with your feminine side. Otherwise, you're just going to grow up to perpetuate the cycle of marginalization and oppression of women." And I thought, yeah, I do. Because I do not, of all the things I want to do, I don't want to perpetuate the marginalization and oppression of women. So I was convinced I was going to get in touch with my feminine side. I mean, it's necessary, right? If this country has any hope, and if I have any hope. And she went further on to say that not only do I need to get in touch with my feminine side so I don't grow up to perpetuate the cycle of marginalization and oppression of women, but also I need to get in touch with my feminine side to discover a whole part of me that could go unknown. And even at 12, I didn't want any part of me to go unknown. I was intrigued by this. And so she stubbed out her last cigarette. It was time for us to go home. My brother had already left. I had been caught in this intellectual, mind-blowing conversation with Mrs. Walter Michelle, Jenny's mom. And I thought, yeah, okay, this is totally cool. I mean, this is so right. I need to get in touch with my feminine side. Otherwise, you know, the cycle of inequality and marginalization and repression, it'll continue. But worse, I won't know myself. I will leave this big part of me undiscovered. And I don't really want to do that at all. So yeah, I was overcome by this profound realization as I was walking home across the street to our house. It was like I had just been given this gift, like this mind-expanding gift for telling me about this, that there's a feminine side, that I have a feminine side, that the country has a feminine side. It was such a big idea for my 12-year-old brain that, like, I couldn't really think about it and walk at the same time. A leaf hit me and then slid down my nose and fluttered to the ground, and I realized that I had come to a halt in the middle of the street. I had stopped walking halfway between the Walters' house and mine. I felt the wind. It was kind of fall coming up. So I zipped up my jacket, and I finished crossing the street, and there in front of my house, I determined that I would sit on my front steps and get in touch with my feminine side. So I sat, and I narrowed my eyes and furrowed my brow in a sort of made-for-TV movie expression of thinking hard. I thought, my feminine side. I was ready. Okay, let's get right in touch with it. I am open, no resistance to my feminine side, no fear, the opposite of fear. I welcome my feminine side. I summon my feminine side. And then I realized I had no idea what that meant. What is my feminine side? I have two sides? This is new to me. I have two sides? Like, what is in my masculine side, even? Is that like the side that plays sports and hunts and fished? I hated sports. I never hunted or fished. Maybe I was all feminine side already. I don't know. My dad, he wasn't into those things. He took me to art museums. He liked plays and books. Maybe I came from a long line of feminine sides. I don't know. I like to cook, but I hated doing dishes and laundry, but then so did my mom. I should have asked Mrs. Walters, Michelle, Jenny's mom what my feminine side was and how to get in touch with it. That was the thing. How do I get in touch with it? I mean, I didn't want to grow up and perpetuate the cycle of inequality and oppression of women. I didn't want to marginalize women. But what if I didn't have a choice? What if I never got in touch with my feminine side and I did not have a choice? I just had a future of marginalizing women in front of me, oppressing women in front of me. I had all that marginalizing to do. It didn't sound like very much fun to me. It seemed like the feminine side would be much more fun. And what about that whole other unknown part of me? This is too much. I thought I could do it. Even at 12, I kind of thought I was a young intellectual. I thought I could, but I was overwhelmed by the whole thing. So I went inside. I sat down, I watched TV. Gilligan's Island. And Marianne in this episode was jealous because she was doing all the work, and Ginger was like rolling her shoulders and making the professor uncomfortable with sexy looks, which made me think. Actually made me think of this Bible story of Mary and Martha, which didn't correlate directly to Ginger and Marianne, but there are certain, you know, similarities for that a 12-year-old in the midst of an existential crisis could make the connections. The Bible. That's it. I can figure this whole feminist side thing out with the Bible, right? I like the Bible. I read the Bible a lot. I knew my Bible well. That's how I was raised. As for all, the first big ideas I ever encountered were all in the Bible. Well, I'd hear my dad preach about them, and then later I read about them. So I found this passage in Luke, and I studied it. And it didn't really clarify anything for me. Not at all. I mean, I saw that there is two sides, but they both seem to be feminine, I guess. I mean, Martha is like working really hard and doing all this stuff. And just like, Mary, I guess kind of like Ginger, was just not doing anything, just laying there listening to Jesus teach. So there's two different sides, the hardworking side and the listening side, or is that the thinking side and the worrying side? But I don't know how you get feminine or, well, they're women. I gave up. I went and had dinner. After dinner, we went, watched more TV. We watched a lot of TV. It was The Love Boat. Didn't give me any insight whatsoever. I went to bed. Never thought of it again. Never was concerned again about that. I don't know what it was. It's possible that I did have this crisis of myself and a need to know myself better, or it could have been my first panic attack. I don't know. But all these years later, I kind of think, when I was looking at this and studying this text for today, that maybe my 12-year-old self might have kind of intuited something to go to this text. Because I found this a very intriguing article all about this text and the division of the psyche. Wilhelm Angus Sneed, he was a German Scottish doctor, and he was one of Freud's lesser known students. He lived in a small village in the Scottish Highlands. He was a doctor of animal husbandry, but he had a keen interest in psychoanalysis and the Bible. And he did study with Freud, but it was entirely through a correspondence school that Freud's cousin set up and didn't even know about. But still, Wilhelm found that in the story of Mary and Martha, there were some key insights into the different sides that are contained in the human psyche. His assertion was this, that everybody needed to achieve what he called the fertile female self. Because only the fertile female self can give birth to that integrated self, which is the goal of psychoanalysis. And that integrated self is a whole healthy self. And only that whole healthy self can act in the world in healing and positive ways. He thought this is the case here, that this was not about two women, sisters, acting in different ways, one choosing the better path. He said that this whole scene here, the story of Mary and Martha, all take place in Jesus' mind. That Mary and Martha are two different aspects of Jesus' psyche. Because Martha, in the Hebrew, he pointed out, translate as master. And Martha is the one that is seeking to control everything what's going on. Not, you know, to just clean it up. That's all metaphor. Seeking to control thoughts. Thinking to control, you know, her self-worth. Thinking to control all the things that we feel like we need to do to maintain and assert ourselves in the world, where our power comes from. He said that was all the master. That's Martha. And this is that side of Jesus. And Mary, actually you can translate it, Miriam, back then it means like the rebel. Mary's this rebel part of Jesus' psyche. And this is something that seeks the passion and the freedom. And when this master comes and tries to control everything, it brings out the rebel big time. And then there's this internal conflict. And that internal conflict leads to depression. It leads to all kinds of things. It's an unintegrated self. And these are the kind of people that act negatively in the world. And so what needs to happen is very clear here, is that they both need to, like Mary did, let go, lay down, give up. And so when the rebel does that, then the master doesn't need to control it, and the master can lay down too. And this, then, you have an integrated, fertile female self. And he, Wilhelm, equated fertility with peace. Because when you're at this state of peace, when you're not trying to control anything, when you're not in conflict with yourself, when you're integrated, then you were open. Furthermore, he said that this is show that this is Jesus's, this all of this takes place in Jesus' mind, because the thing that happens immediately after that is Jesus prays the Lord's Prayer. So this all is Jesus' preparation internally to find the peace so he can begin to pray. I don't know. Maybe peace is the female side. Maybe prayer is the female side. Maybe the country stands a chance if we all get in touch with our female side.